Before I went to college, I could count the number of times on maybe one hand my family went out to eat. Why? Well, because we cooked every night, right? My mom usually cooked, and on occasion, my mom did not cook, my stepdad cooked. So I really remember before college going out as a family maybe 3 or 4 times total during my school years. And it was usually because I graduated from 8th grade. Big deal, right? 8th grade, then high school, or something like that. It was a big event. So even though we always ate in, I actually never took the time to learn to cook. My sister did, but I just took it for granted. Consequently, I've never been a good cook. And some of you can attest to this. Or even, I should say, even have a cook's mind, per se. For example, one time when I was in high school, I have a lot of one times in high school, but one time when I was in high school, I was really craving soft pretzels. Well, I opened up my pantry, and I saw that there were only a bag of large, hard Utz pretzels, you know, the big ones. Well, I wanted a soft pretzel. Naturally, in my mind, that meant I had to soften the hard pretzel. So I took out a hard pretzel, and I stuck it in the microwave for a few minutes, and I walked away. I ended up catching the pretzel on fire, setting the fire alarm off in my house, and I was grounded from using the microwave for a time. Likewise, another time, I'm a great cook, trust me. Likewise, another time, I was attempting to make tilapia. I love tilapia. You know, it called the recipe for a smidge, use that word, smidge of salt. But being my ever so clumsy self, this is true, I actually dumped half a container of salt on one of the fish. And I was cooking for people. Now, in order to fix this, I added more salt to the other fish to balance it out. That did not work. Needless to say, I did not have a vocation to culinary school, unlike Father Zabo. You know, sometimes in recipes, you'll see that instruction, season to taste, meaning you're supposed to check while cooking to see if the taste is right, right? Too little salt and the recipe is flavorless or off. And no one likes flavorless food or over-seasoned food, except for Father Zabo. He likes burnt toast. Make fun of him for that, please. It's gross. Anyway, it can ruin your desire to ever have that food again or grow tired of it. So in a way, going off of this, the same goes with our faith. I think sometimes there's a tendency for our own faith to become so flavorless that it no longer seasons our life and actions as it ought, and consequently doesn't affect those around us as it should. Let me explain. So in the gospel, we just heard, our Lord tells the disciples the famous teaching, "You are the salt of the earth," right? We've all heard this. He then explains that if salt loses its taste, what good is it? This passage from the Gospel of Matthew comes directly after last week's gospel on the Beatitudes. A disciple of Christ is a follower of the Beatitudes. But if he does not live the Beatitudes, he has lost his purpose, his saltiness. Further, Christ explains that Christians are meant to be the light of the world, a title that is earlier applied only to God, light of the world. In other words, our faith and actions must be clearly seen before others, and we may evangelize others through them, as the first reading today said, to bring light into the darkness of the world. In other words, to bring others to God, who is the true light. Now, many of us here were baptized when we were infants. Others maybe were brought into the church at a later date. No matter how long we've been Catholic, though, I mean, at times, I've talked about this before, I think it can become very easy to take our faith for granted. That's really almost inevitable. So much so that it becomes simply part of the culture of our life and not what our life is centered around. If we were raised Catholic, We can become so used to it that we contain it only on Sundays at Mass and right before meals, when we shoot off a quick blessing for good measure. If you are a convert, in time, sometimes that initial vigor you might have had when you were first baptized or received into the church at the Easter Vigil can fade. In other words, we can lose the flavor of our faith so much that our faith no longer seasons our life. It becomes simply a part of our life, something that we, quote unquote, have to do. You know, sometimes this happens when your kids finally leave the house, or perhaps when a tragedy happens in the family or the world, and we don't know how to process it. Or perhaps simply we just don't put much attention to our faith because honestly, we're just so busy with other things in our relationships. Our faith then becomes something with which we just go through the motions. It's part of our culture, but we don't think about it. Our vigor for our faith grows stagnant. And if we are stagnant, we naturally are not much of a light to others about Christ and his church. Flavorless faith is like a burned out faith, perhaps like a burnt Utz pretzel. Something is different about the taste, and it's not good. Yet, if we're willing to respond to God's grace, our faith will not be flavorless. It will be salty. It will attract people. We will naturally become a light of Christ to others. I want to tell you a few brief, true stories. So I was stationed at a Catholic high school my first 2 years of priesthood. A young girl named Lauren asked to meet with me one day. I didn't know her too well. She was not Catholic, but when she met with me, she said she was moved by the Catholic Church because of its teaching on sexual morality. She said she was saddened that her friends were making fun of her for believing in God and for being a virgin. She said she liked that the church stood up for marriage and that the church taught that sexual activity had a meaning and purpose. Lauren would continue meeting with me to vent for every few weeks. Finally, one day, she asked me if she could become Catholic. A few months later, she'd be received into the church at a packed Mass with all of her high school friends. She was a light to them, showing them that living a life of mediocrity and sin did not have to be the answer. Here's another story. A young high schooler named Mike often gave his father a hard time for making him go to Mass on Sundays. High schoolers never give their parents a hard time for going to Mass on Sundays, right? Yet, his father would not budge. They were going to go to Sunday Mass as a family. End of story. At breakfast before school one day, Mike asked his father why he always left an hour early for work every day. You don't have to be there until 9 a.m. on weekdays. Why do you leave at 7:45 each morning? He asked him. Because I try to make the 8 a.m. morning Mass every day, his father replied. Now, the fact that his father was going to daily Mass every day completely caught Mike off guard. He never thought of that. His father loved Jesus that much to go to Mass every day? Pretty soon, Mike was going to Mass with his father every day before school. He wanted to be like him. You see, one small action of ours can be a light to others. One more story. I had a couple, young couple here at St. John's who I witnessed their marriage recently. They met through a secular online dating site. They were matched because they answered a question on the dating site the same way. The question was, what is your ideal Sunday? Most people might say taking a nice walk or going for a Sunday drive or just relaxing before the work week, yada, 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 right? You know how they both answered what their ideal Sunday was? Going to a traditional Latin Mass. That's how they got matched. And now they're married. Yet, at their wedding reception, all the best man and maid of honor could talk about in their speeches was how the couple was so focused on their faith, their love of the Mass, and how they wanted to have a God-centered relationship. There were about 150 people at this reception, which means 150 people got to hear how this young couple wanted to live their Catholic faith. Young couple. They were, without even intending to be, a light to the world, a light in the darkness. We are all called to be the light of the world. We are called to bring others to Christ. Yet we can do that simply by living our faith with saltiness. Our lives as Christians should make non-believers question their disbelief in God and see that their disbelief is irrational and inhumane. So often, though, we can be so used to our faith that we, quote unquote, lose our flavor, our saltiness. Yet we should never be afraid to ask Christ for strength to be a light to those around us. It's really not that hard to be a light to others. If we love God, we just have to be ourselves. And so, on this fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time, we must ask ourselves, what is holding us back from being a light to those around us?